All right, Mr. Scott, this is the broadcast for God's Grace for You. It should be aired on Thursday, the date on the label. All righty, thanks so much again. This is Pastor Greg Durrell, pastor of Heritage Bible Church, back with you. We've been having a grand time. I think we're in about week two of the discussion on the subject of tongues. I'm sure by now some of you have really been digging into the Word of God. We know this by the phone calls and emails that we have received. Again, I just want to thank so many of you that have called and written saying, you know, I just never thought about this before. I just assumed. And you know the old saying about assuming something. So hopefully many will continue to recognize the importance of the issue, go to the Scripture, and let the Scripture solve the dilemma for them. Now, also this week, we've been offering you, it's a piece called Am I Going to Heaven? It's sort of like a little test. You fold it out, and you have an option for 18 things that you can check. For example, the instructions say, check below the item or items upon which you are basing your hopes for reaching heaven after you die. Now, you can check 1, 2, 5, 6, 10, all 18. And then, as you fold this thing out, it will address each one, telling you, obviously, explanation if you've checked number 1, and then it explains that to you. If you've checked number 2, 3, or 4, 5, 6, or 7, 8, 9, 10, etc. Take you through each one of those, giving you some scripture references as to the validity or the lack of based upon what you checked. So I think you'll find it very interesting. You might say, well, I know the answer to that. That's great. Well, maybe you know someone who does not. And it's an excellent tool to share with someone that perhaps has an interest in spiritual things, but they have never, ever come to a clear saving knowledge of faith alone in Christ alone, based upon His grace and not their works of personal achievement at all. So if you like it, you can have it free. Give us a call. We're at 392-4900, or you can go to the website, heritagebiblechurch.com. If you're out of town, the call is toll-free. It's 1-866-68-GRACE, or you can write us a letter. We're at 785 Heritage Avenue, and we're in Tarrytown, Louisiana. The zip code is 70056. Again, if you do call and request it on the telephone, we ask that just take some time. If you you know what your last name is, and you know how to spell it. You know what your street is, and obviously you know how to spell that, etc. But sometimes, in your zeal to leave a rapid message, perhaps we don't get exactly how to figure out how to spell your name or your street. Now, for some of us local folks that have been around here forever, if we hear the name Oquin, we know how to spell that. You know, if we hear the name Benoit, we know how to spell that. But, you know, if we have somebody giving us a hand, perhaps doesn't have a French or Cajun background, Oquin is not going to come out the way it's supposed to be. So if you take a little extra time, perhaps, just to spell it for us, we'd appreciate it. And I say that only because oftentimes we send stuff out, and it might cost us a couple of dollars postage and another dollar or so processing and handling, only to get it back because they tell us there's no such street or something of that nature. So if you would, just take the time to do that. If you have requested something and it's been over 3 weeks and you haven't received it, feel free to call again and tell us, because obviously it got lost in the mail, because I think we're just about getting caught up on all the requests. Anyway, we're talking about tongues. What does the Bible say about them, about tongues? Now, we started off this discussion a good while ago with the presupposition that whatever is done today in the name of tongues is biblical. And then we looked at how, then, would biblical tongues be used, or how they should not be used. In other words, how would speaking in tongues violate Scripture, not making an issue whether whatever was spoken was biblical or unbiblical. And then we looked at that and gave you about 9 things to think through, 9 clear, blatant violations of biblical tongues. Those 9 violations are just about everywhere today, just about every church. There are some exceptions, and we've said that numerous times, so please don't call and say, well, you've lumped everybody together. We have not, but we said overwhelmingly the majority of places where these things are in operation, they violate Scripture. And not even talking about whether the actual tongue is biblical or unbiblical, but the manner in which they're used is unbiblical. So if a place has absolutely no regard for the Bible in the use and the conduct of anything, I mean, you need not have to go any further. It's a moot point whether they're biblical or unbiblical, correct? Because the practice that's used is clearly unbiblical, which eliminates 95% of the places that supposedly have tongues or biblical tongues. Then we talked a little bit about the tongues of today, the problems with them, and then we're looking at the idea of biblical tongues now. And we got into 1 Corinthians 14 yesterday. We read for you verses 21 and 22. We'll read it again. Paul says, in the law it is written, in the Old Testament it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, Paul is correcting the abuse of tongues. And now he gets to the reason that tongues existed here. The reason that biblical tongues were given at all. This is the reason. He says, wherefore tongues are for a sign to what? To them that do not believe. Now, who is he talking about? Them in general? Anybody who doesn't believe? You say, well, yeah, really. That could possibly hold some water if there was not verse 21. And that's why you'll never hear anybody talk about verse 21. Because verse 21 eliminates them from being the folks in your congregation. Verse 21 again. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues, with other lips, will I speak unto this people. Who's this people? Israel, the Jew. The Jew. He says, I will speak unto the Jew. And yet for all that will they, the Jews, not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them, the Jews, that believe not. You say, well, wait a minute. Well, no, you wait a minute. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Now, remember, if you read correctly your Bible, before you got to chapter 14, you had to go through chapter 1. So, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 22. Same verse that we need, except it's in chapter 1. Now, chapter 1, verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. In other words, the non-Jews seek after wisdom, but the Jew requires a sign. Requires a sign. It doesn't say the Jew seeks for a sign, the Jew requires a sign. 1 Corinthians 14, 22. Wherefore what? Tongues are for a what? A what? A sign. A sign. Who requires a sign? The Jew requires a sign. You say, well, why does the Jew require a sign? Well, that, I think, again, if we understand more of that, then the things become clearer and clearer. Go back with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Exodus, the book of Exodus. And we'll go back to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, when we begin to understand the reasoning for the Jew requiring a sign, we begin to understand these signs that were given. And we'll spend some time in Acts chapter 2 and some other places so that you won't think that we're missing some key verses. In the meantime, though, in your mind, and I know how your mind is working, you're thinking, well, what about this verse? And what about that verse? Well, how come this and how come that? Please make the notes. Write your questions down. Email your questions. Pen a letter if you think that we're not going to get to your question. Write the question down where you say, well, explain this verse. Please do. Write that verse down. Put your name on it. Mail it to us. Email it to us. Okay, if you want to phone it in, phone it in, but leave your name and number if you want to dialogue about it. Now, Exodus chapter 3, we have the call of Moses. Jews in Egypt, they're there for 400 years, slaves. Moses is called by the Lord to lead them out of that. Moses is called, Moses doubts. We find throughout chapter 3, Moses has a million excuses why he shouldn't be the one to be used. Now, chapter 4, verse 1, continuing on Moses' objections to the Lord using him. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." He's saying, listen, Lord, how am I, Moses, going to go to these people? He tells us further in verse 10 that he stutters. He says, how am I, Moses, who does not wax eloquent, who stutters, and I'm going to go to these people who have been slaves for virtually 10 generations, and I'm going to tell them that God appeared to me. I'm going to tell them that God appeared, the Creator appeared unto me, and he said, unarmed, we're going to go up to the Pharaoh, and we're going to tell the Pharaoh that the God of heaven and earth, the God that you do not know, said, let us go or else. Now, Moses, from a natural standpoint, has a valid point, does he not? They're going to think he's crazy. Who's going to go up and tell Pharaoh, hey, God appeared to this guy here with a speech impediment in a burning bush that didn't burn up and told him to come tell you better cut us loose and give us some compensation for the years of captivity that you've had as a slavery or else. Oh, well, Pharaoh would have their heads. He would have their heads. Moses says, look, Lord, you got to have the wrong guy here. They're not going to believe me. Now, verse 2. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? He said, it's a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. And you know the story. Moses picks it down. It turns into a rod again. Now, look in verse 6. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put thine hand in thy bosom. He put his hand in his bosom, and he says, pull it out. And his hand was leprous as snow. His hand comes out with leprosy on it. Verse 7, he says, and he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into the bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. First man healed in the Bible. So he's giving him some signs here. Do you see what he's doing? Giving him some miraculous signs that only God could do. And we'll talk about that more tomorrow. He's setting the stage for something. And we'll see what the stage is set for. We'll see why. And I think perhaps then you'll be able to understand a little better about biblical tongues. If you'd like the offer this week, Am I Going to Heaven? Give us a call. Heritage Bible Church, 392-4900. But most importantly, call a friend. And remember to join us tomorrow at this same time.